Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heckendorn.
And I'm Jason Jones.
And today we're going to talk about three different subjects. Subject one, childhood rape. Whoa, don't push stop just yet. More so about how everyone's like, George Lucas raped my childhood. And in a few years, J.J. Abrams raped my childhood. And we're going to talk about how ridiculous that is. And also talk about the new Star Wars movie.
Of course. We have to.
It's Star Wars.
Yes.
Second topic is going to be foreign markets are ruining our movies. We were going to call this foreigners are ruining our movies, but we thought that would sound too xenophobic.
Yeah,
that remember Xenophobe? Little... That was an awesome game.
That was, yeah. That's the... old school there.
It was not that old.
Yeah, it was pretty old. Yeah. We're old.
Hey, did I tell you that Steve Ritchie did an impression of the Mortal Kombat guy for me?
No.
Because he did the voice of the announcer. Like,
oh, like Luke the finish him. And
yeah, that was Steve Ritchie.
Really?
So I was like, nice. Hey, Steve, would you do an impression of Mortal Kombat for me? He's like, it's not an impression. It's the real thing. And then he was like, Liu Kang wins. Nice. And I'm like, holy shit, it is you.
Nice.
Anyway, no, it's more so that basically whatever crap they make for movies nowadays, even if Americans don't go to it, which is becoming more and more the case, it'll still clean up overseas. Apparently, people will watch anything in like China, and it kind of sucks. Nothing against Chinese people or anything, but it seems like foreign markets are a lot less discriminating than us, or discerning is the right word to use.
Yeah, yeah.
And so basically, like Pirates 4, who liked Pirates 4, but it made tons of money overseas.
And we'll talk about that, because there's probably good reasons for why that is. So,
and there's other things that are interesting, like, you know, Titanic made like over $100 million re-release in China.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting to be like, you wouldn't think, like, oh yeah, they'll eat this up in China, but they did.
Yeah.
Just goes to show nobody knows anything. So, yeah, and it also kind of homogenizes movies where everything is superheroes and special effects. Like, if you have those two things, you will make, you know, $600 million worldwide, guaranteed. And the third topic is, now everyone hates Xbox? Question mark?
Yes. Apparently, like, this is the thing.
In the blink of an eye, Xbox went from arguably the most successful console last generation to now everyone hates it. I mean, was there that much Fallout? Which, I can't wait for the sequel. Oh, we should complain about Elder Scrolls Online, too.
Sure, why not?
I mean, was the Fallout so great from, you know, the announcements last year at E3, like no used games? Did that do that much damage to the brand?
Seems like it. I don't know.
Maybe it's like we'll the uninformed people, like the kind that used to come into Walmart, like you guys are telling me about, and like, I heard this won't play the used games.
Yep. And so then they're just like, well, I'll get this PlayStation thing because, you know, it's here and it's cheaper. I think price is a big factor, too.
Yeah.
So
I was like, oh, the most technologically weak console always wins. Yeah, and guess what? It's always also the cheapest, although with the PlayStation 4, it's probably not the case.
Not the case, yeah.
Well, they got to cut that literal albatross. Well, it's not a literal albatross because it's not a dead bird. But they have to
cut the Kinect. Yeah.
It's like here's how this works. Like, real gamers don't want the Kinect. So there you go. That's it.
Yep. I mean, like, for me, we won't get too deep into this, but, like, for me, it was... you know, when I went to buy a PS4 or an Xbox One, you know, I looked at it and I was like, $400 versus $500. And it's like, I don't give a shit about this Kinect thing. You know, it's like, I'd rather spend $400 and get this thing. So I bought a PS4, even though people that listen to this podcast way back when know that I am Xbox fanboy.
Big time.
But I do not own an Xbox One. And so, you know, for me, price was a key consideration. If they would have both been sitting there at $400, probably would have bought the Xbox One. And
yeah, because you're so poor, you can't afford it.
Hey, just because I've got money doesn't mean I set it on fire.
Just because you can afford it doesn't mean it's not expensive.
Yes.
Like cable.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones. Throne game.
Yes.
Terminator woman. Two Terminators in one show. No, two Sarah Connors in one show.
How can you go wrong?
Oh, God. That new Terminator movie is going to stink on ice. Yeah, there's a 68-year-old Terminator, and it's going to go back to key scenes from the first two Terminator movies, just like Back to the Future 2. God, it's going to be garbage.
Oh, that's right, because they're basically going to pretend like the third movie didn't happen.
And the fourth,
one. So it's going to be like Superman Returns.
We could do an entire podcast about why Terminator 3 is an underrated
masterpiece.
It's really underrated.
That movie kicks all kinds of ass. What we should do is do a commentary track for it that people can download. For all five people that own the DVD other than us.
Hey, I have it on Blu-ray.
I do too, because it rocks.
Yeah, so. It's a good movie. Oh, I played my Super Nintendo the other day.
Wow.
Because I was at MGC and I was looking at the
Vendor tent.
No, they had Sunset Riders for $60. Oh. And I was like, this game is worth $60? And the girl's like, yeah, my boyfriend told me to like, keep an eye on it when he's not around. And I'm like, I have this game. So I went home and I played it. And I didn't realize it was worth that much.
And you were like, I could get $60 for this.
No, I'm not going to sell it. But if you've never played Sunset Riders, it's basically Contra meets Rolling Thunder in the Old West, which is pretty much as cool as it sounds.
I remember that was a pretty big deal when that game came out.
Sunset Riders?
Yeah.
The Super Nintendo port is like arcade perfect. It's a really good port.
Yeah, that was what I was meaning, the Super Nintendo version. That was probably why, because it was that close. But because that was back in the days when like Street Fighter 2, you know, was coming to the consoles. And
Fighter 2 is a really good port too.
Yeah, that kicked as well. Ass. I wonder how much Snatcher's worth.
I think it's like $80 or $90.
Not that I'd ever sell it, but
it's just kind of cool when you. Yeah, you're like, oh, I happen to own a game that I did not know was worth a lot of money for a game that old.
Like, apparently Chrono Trigger is kind of valuable,
That's
too.
That's always been valuable.
And yeah. I've got that.
Secret of Mana is pretty valuable. Tengen Tetris, well, that's not as... You know what's going to be really valuable? Any of those ET cartridges they resell from the desert?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, and people will pay. I would buy one.
Because they were able to keep, what, 100 of them, was it?
But why can they only take 100? There's got to be thousands of them.
Probably because the town wants to keep the rest and sell them.
Because you saw those boxes. Those cartridges would still work.
Yeah.
I mean, the boxes were kind of compressed, but... plug that shit in! And it wasn't just E.T. It was Pac-Man, all sorts of games, like Centipede. And
nice.
All sorts of stuff didn't
So some
didn't
actual
sell.
Good games were in there, too.
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of unsold hardware and prototype systems... There could be a lot of stuff down there.
Maybe you could mod a 2600 from the landfill.
Oh, God. I would give my left nut to do that.
There you go, world. If you want Ben Heck's left nut,
I don't know what you'd do with it.
Send one of those 2600s to him. Stat.
Anyway.
Ben's going to go edit that part out.
I don't care.
The world will never hear it.
No, I barely edit these anymore. I shouldn't tell you that.
Why? I don't care.
Okay. Anyway.
I always thought editing was dumb anyways.
Yeah, so. I edit the header and the tail, but...
Well, yeah, but...
Okay, anyway, so let's start with our first topic, which is people raping our childhoods. What does that mean exactly? It's like...
I've never really understood it myself. Like, these people, apparently, like, when Phantom Menace came out and, you know, Jar Jar Binks showed up, like, all these people felt like their childhood had somehow been
Jar
violated.
Jar Jar Binks was far from the worst thing about the prequels.
Yeah, he rules, basically, but...
I wouldn't go that far. Sloppy storytelling and completely inept direction is a much worse thing. It's like the whole movie being basically fundamentally... not well made. Well, it's very well made, but the story is... No, the story is good, too. It's just ineptly put... Oh, I know you're a prequel apologist. All our listeners.
Yeah, but I mean, I can admit that they're not great movies, either.
It's, like, just too stagey and...
Well, the problem is everything was done on a set.
Yeah, on a green screen.
On a green screen, you know, and so it's not like the... First movies were a lot, I mean, there were a lot of sets in those too, but there was a lot of location work as well.
And things the actors would play off of. I mean, the prequel, I mean, was filled with great actors, but except for Ian McGregor, they're all like blocks of wood on camera.
Yeah, McGregor was like the only one who seemed to get it.
Yeah, it's like he understood that, I mean, like ultimately Star Wars is a B-movie, you know, he kind of understood that.
Yeah.
And he had the right kind of...
He had the winking kind of attitude about
exactly.
it as he went through it. And But yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, that's like, even if you're
the Emperor, of course.
Well, yeah, I mean, how can you go wrong? One of the highlights of the prequels.
I wish they'd make a spin-off movie about him. I would be first in line.
That would be awesome.
It would probably be called, like, The Emperor Rises, because you got to have the word rise in every movie now.
Yeah, well, it'd be better than The Emperor's New Groove, but...
Hey, I finally watched that.
Did you? I think it's supposed to be okay.
It's actually pretty decent, considering the production history it had.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't get this whole, like, it raped my childhood thing. Even if you just loathe the prequels, and they're like the worst goddamn movies you ever saw, and you loved the original movies, it's not like the original movies have ceased to exist. It's not like that time in your life changed.
Well, you could say the original Star Wars movies have ceased to exist.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, unless you got a laser disc or those shitty non-anamorphic DVDs laying around. But it's like, you know, when I was a kid... Actually, I didn't even really get into Star Wars big time when I was a kid for the most part. But, you know, it's like I had my experiences with those movies and whatever, and I enjoyed them and whatever. It's not like suddenly that part of my life got deleted now. You know, I don't understand. I mean, it's just fucking internet hyperbole or whatever is all it is. It's just nonsense. But
I think if anything, people are too hung up on their childhood.
Yes.
Like, everyone's jizzed about a Goonies 2. It's like, why? First of all, Goonies...
And another Ghostbusters.
All our listeners, Goonies is not that great
Goonies
of a movie.
Goonies sucks.
It's just... it's entertaining, but it's like, it's just... Nobody really cared about it when it came out. I don't think it was that successful.
Well, the thing I would say about the Star Wars prequels,
why would you want to see these people, like, 30 years later?
I have no interest.
I still think they should make a Back to the Future remake, though.
That's like the remake that makes the most sense.
And yes,
Now, the reason they haven't made it, I wonder if it's because of Spielberg being involved. Like, do you think that would be enough to...
Yeah,
because he's got so much clout, you know?
Well, that's part of the thing with Ghostbusters 3. It's like, pretty much all the original Ghostbusters is like, Ivan Reitman, Dan Aykroyd, and Harold Ramis, and Bill Murray would all have to say yes. Like, they had so much control when they made that movie. Because they basically came up with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean... anything they make has to get the sign off of everybody. Well, that was the same problem with Indiana Jones 4. It's like Harrison Ford, Spielberg, and Lucas all had to agree on something. And you see in interviews, Spielberg was basically like, whatever, yeah, fine, we'll make this.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell his heart was not
He literally
in that
says
movie.
That yeah. in the interview.
Exactly.
He's like, fine, aliens, interdimensional beings, whatever.
Because, you know, after, you know, 15 years of people being like, when are you going to make an Indiana Jones? I'm sure he was just like, fuck it. Because every other movie he made in the last 10, 15 years was nothing like that.
Well, can't
that,
they just, you know? Like, not make a sequel?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's like, when people talk about your childhood or what people are nostalgic for, I mean, you look at something like, they're making a new Wolfenstein game, which no one will buy.
Yeah, they're making another Jurassic Park.
Yeah, people aren't nostalgic for the specific IPs. They're nostalgic for a time when things were new.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the 80s, as far as, like, mass consumerism in movies... The 80s was a really magical time, and like everything, there was like, well, there were a few remakes, but there was all these fresh ideas, and like, it's like, hey, what if people fought ghosts? Or hey, what are those gremlin stories from World War II? What if a kid bought a gremlin? You know, there's all these high concept movies, and they were the big tentpoles, and they all made money.
Yep.
Nowadays, any movie with a budget over $90 million has to have a superhero in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, all that creativity is gone, so I think what people really want is people want it, but they're too stupid to know it.
Yeah.
And Hollywood's too stupid to realize that they want to return to that creativity. It's like those kind of movies, not well, Indiana Jones is a perfect example. Indiana Jones was based off of like old serials, like, you know, adventure serials and Flash Gordon and whatnot. So it was Spielberg and Lucas thinking back to things they enjoyed in their childhood, but they didn't just make Flash Gordon. They made something in the style of it.
Yeah,
and it was a fresh IP, and even though every studio passed on Indiana Jones, obviously when Paramount did, then they did gangbusters with it.
Yep.
That's the thing. It's like they just need to take a chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's like people are surprised when like a movie like Gravity comes along and makes a shitload of money. And it's like, well, guess what? It was a great theatrical experience, and it was something different. Like, people didn't know what the hell it was going into.
And it was something adults could enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, of course we say all this. Meanwhile, you know, Captain America sequel comes out, makes a shitload of money. The new Spider-Man will probably make a bunch of money. Who knows? You know, so it's like, you can see why they make those movies, because it's like, oh,
well, there's less risk.
They just print money, you know. But
here's the thing I don't understand with less risk. Like, the reboots are always making, they never succeed. I'm talking about, like, all the 80s reboots. Like,
yeah, all that stupid
none of them make
shit.
Money. Like, yeah. Karate Kid was the only one that made money.
Yeah, that was completely mystifying, but, you know.
Yeah.
It worked. But, yeah, for every one of those, there's, like, another 10 that completely fail.
Like, who the hell even remembers Fright Night, let alone a PG-13 remake of it?
Well, there was, like, that Red Dawn remake that yep. sat on the shelf RoboCop. For, like, 3 years. And
Yeah, they're making Point Break, even though that was already remade as Fast and the Furious.
Yeah,
they just need to get like some high concept ideas, and I think part of it is movies have become so expensive they can't take risks. I mean, we're talking about movies in the 80s, and I don't know. Well, actually, yeah, even with inflation, like a big movie in like 1984, it would be like $30 million, would be an enormous budget.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And you know, if you think about regular inflation over 30 years, you know, $30 million, let's say it's $100 million, it wouldn't even be that much, but right. Yeah. Whereas a big tentpole movie is like $200 million. So the price of movies, or what it costs to make movies, has increased far faster than the rate of inflation. Probably because they shoehorn so much CGI shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, again, that makes them more, well, they had to be safer to make their money.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, I think it's maybe just industry in general's kind of that way. I mean, like, not to go into pinball too much or anything, but, like, with pinball, it's very similar, you know? Like, some people say, oh, we want original games or whatever, you know, but it's like,
yeah.
The safe bet is a licensed game, because it's like, you know, you can go and make a, like, let's say somebody made a Harry Potter game. It's like, instantly, that's a worldwide brand. There's billions of people that know what the hell Harry
well,
Potter is.
Well, the pinball machines, like, you've seen a movie, so you kind of know, oh, I have to do this because yeah. I've seen Harry Potter. I have to destroy the ring. I have to assemble the Avengers.
Yep.
I have to shoot the Walking Dead.
Or if you had a game called Wizard Quest or
Wizard Blocks.
Orc Hunt or something like
Orc
that.
Hunt.
Actually, that can be really bad if you said it too fast. But, but
are there female orcs? They were elves once. Tortured. Mutilated.
Oh, the Uruk-hai. But it's kind of like that, you know, and it's like movies are the same way. You know, it's like an executive sitting there and it's like, oh, well, okay, here's this guy. He's got this new idea. Yeah, maybe it could work. But it's like, I also got like, I don't know, Batman sitting on the shelf here. I could just shit like $100 million at that. And, oh, I know I've got this built in audience that, you know, tons of people know about, and it'll.
I can see it for like
money.
Things like superheroes, because they're kind of more, I don't want to say evergreen, but. You know, like Batman versus Superman, that will make tons of money for some. Yeah. I'm sure I have no faith in it being good, but.
Well, it's Batman and Superman are yep. in the movie. I mean, shit, why wouldn't it make money? You know?
Yeah.
So.
What I don't get is all the, yeah, all the remakes of stuff from the 80s, like Footloose and.
They made a Flashdance too, didn't they? Didn't they remake that?
See, the fact that we can't even remember this shows how pointless it is to remake this stuff. But the thing I don't get is like, hey, let's remake RoboCop. Anyone old enough to remember yeah. RoboCop is over 18, but we better make it PG-13. It's
yeah.
like, a 15-year-old kid doesn't give a shit about RoboCop.
Like, we don't even give a shit about RoboCop, and we lived through it coming out. It's like, who fucking cares?
Who asked for this shit?
My thing, too, with some of this stuff, you know, like, to bring it back, I guess, to the Star Wars side of it is, you know, all the people with, like, the prequels that, I guess, hate them or whatever. You know, the thing is, people need to realize those movies weren't made for us. We thought they were, but they weren't. They were made for a new generation of kids.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You see, you talk to people that have, like, kids that were, like, you know, 7, 8 years old, like, when those movies came out. They love those movies. They love the prequels. They don't really like the old ones.
Oh, try these. These are pretty good.
Nice.
Might as well finish them off. Better get home quick, Annie. A storm coming.
But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, to them, they see the old movies and they're like, oh, those are kind of lame. They don't have, like, all these effects and, you know, whatever and blah, blah, blah. And they don't look as cool or, you know, not as much happens. Like, the lightsaber battles are way more elaborate in the new movies. I think
a really good example of what you're talking about is Tron.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see Tron until I was, like, 32 or...
Tron sucks.
Yeah. I think we've lost all our listeners now. If I would have seen Tron when I was... 6 or 5 or however old I would have been when that came out.
Yeah, probably would have loved it.
Yeah, but this movie's amazing.
Yeah.
But when I saw it as an adult, I'm like, I didn't see Tron until I was like in my 30s.
I was the same as you. I think I was probably 30s when I saw it.
And I'm like, oh, this is just a really, this is like the Matrix done completely wrong. The plot makes no sense. The characters make no sense. This is, it's not, I think Tron Legacy is a better movie.
I'd agree.
Because it's actually the, it's kind of a safe generic plot, but it's a well-constructed safe generic plot.
Yep.
You know, everyone probably like, oh, but Tron is like, no, it's not. It's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good example of, you know, depending on when you were first introduced to the series.
And I'll watch a movie like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and be like, oh, this still holds up. But if I hadn't seen that when I was 14, would I still like it?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like Rocketeer. When we were younger, we liked Rocketeer.
Now well, Ninja Turtles is a much better film than Rocketeer.
Yeah, yeah. But now, it's if boring. We were to watch Rocketeer, it'd be like, nothing freaking happens in this movie.
That's a movie they should remake.
Yeah.
And they should set it in, it should be in Europe. And it should be like the hero, what's his face? He could be like, you know, an Allied soldier. And maybe he kills a Nazi with a rocket pack. He's like, oh, look, a rocket pack. And there could be other Nazis with rocket packs, so he can actually fight them. The problem with the Rocketeer is nobody else had a rocket pack. There was nothing for him to do.
Yep.
He flies up to a plane and brings it down, and then he flies to a blimp. That's all he does in the movie. I guess it would have been a Zeppelin since it was from Germany.
Yeah.
You know, but if he was in, if there was like, oh, there's a secret division, like kind of like Captain America, like, oh, there's a secret Nazi base, they've got like 100 jetpacks, and he could actually fight them in the air.
Yeah, they could have like dog fights with rocket packs and stuff like that.
Pitch it as Iron Man in World War II. Done.
Yep.
I mean, they're a movie that didn't quite work. A lot of people think that movie's really great. You know, I see a lot of nostalgic love for it. It's not.
It's probably people that haven't watched it in 20 years, you know? It's like...
There's two really good things about that movie, and they're both attached to Jennifer Connelly.
Yes. Well, that's the other thing with this. Back when she ate sandwiches. But that's the other thing with this, too, is...
Forget about the baby.
I see these people that talk about, you know, the original trilogy.
No, there's more than two good things in it. Alan Alda was good in it.
Yeah, and it did have Timothy Dalton. I can't really remember if he was any good in it.
Yeah, because remember he was like Errol Flynn, like an American movie star who was actually Nazi?
Yeah.
I mean, everything about the movie was good, except for it was boring.
Yeah. Yeah, it got the casting right and all these other things, and the concept was right, but yeah, poorly executed. But my thing, too, with, like, the original trilogy or any of these movies you watched as a kid, like, you can hear it when we're talking about, like, The Rocketeer or Turtles or whatever. It's like, well, we saw these as kids, but then we watch them now, and we can see the flaws in them. It's the same way with the Star Wars trilogy.
Did the Turtles have any flaws? Yeah. I probably haven't watched it in, like, 10 years.
Yeah, I probably haven't either. I'm sure there's flaws in it, But it's like, the original Star Wars trilogy is the same way. You know, it's like growing up, it's like, oh god, this is great, you know, a guy's saving the princess, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you go and watch those movies now with, like, the time spent since, like, watching all sorts of movies from all different genres, you know, becoming more well-versed in film or whatever, you start to see that it's like, yeah, there's, like, some issues with these movies. Not to say that I don't still love them, but... You know, would I give them 4 stars? Probably not.
I have a counterpoint to that. I was perusing Netflix one night, and my niece and my sister had been over, so there's a bunch of, like, kids' movies in my queue.
Yeah.
And then my Netflix said, Disney's Hunchback of Notre Dame, 1996. Our best guess for Benjamin, 2.5 stars. And I'm like...
Wrong.
I'm like, I love this movie. Yep. And then it prompted me to, like, watch it again. I probably hadn't seen it in, like, 10 or 15 years, but
yeah.
It's a really good movie. And so I had to, like, watch it. And as I was watching it, I was like, I was like, this is even better than I remember.
Yeah.
Because
And that can happen.
Yeah. Like, with that one, I was like, there's a, you see that a lot in animation, like where movies are kind of made, like they're patched together because they're not filmed, they're kind of built.
Yeah.
So to speak, and there's always a scene in those movies where you can tell a major plot twist was fixed or pasted over or something. Like Little Mermaid, doesn't the evil woman become a woman or something?
Like Ursula or whatever her name is.
Anyway, there's always something in those movies that doesn't make any sense, but Hunchback of Notre Dame, everything makes perfect sense. It was like they wrote it and they made it and everything fit perfectly.
Just works. Yep.
Obviously that movie didn't come out when I was a kid, but it's a movie I hadn't seen in a long time and I'd forgotten how good it is. But then if you go back and watch Toy Story, it's like, if Buzz doesn't think he's a toy, why does he freeze for the humans? I'm sorry, I just cannot get around that plot hole.
For me, Animal House would be a movie like that. Like when I was a kid, I saw it because my parents were cool. They didn't really care. They let me watch R-rated movies and shit.
Yeah, I would have never got to see that.
And when I was a kid, you know, I thought it was funny, you know, because there's like the food fight and all this different shit happens in it. And then, you know, many, many years later, when I'm an adult, I see it again. And I liked it even more because, of course, I caught all of the adult humor in it and all of that, you know, which, of course, went right over my head when I was little. But, you know, that was an example of a movie like that for me where it got better when I saw it as an adult. It's like I love Empire Strikes Back, but I mean, if I look at that with a critical eye, it's like the Yoda shit. It's pretty fucking boring.
It's not the best Star Wars movie.
You know, it's like...
I think it's overrated.
It's just one of those things, but like as a kid, love the Yoda stuff, you know, because it's like, oh, this little green.
It's a puppet. Big budget Sesame Street.
Yeah, you know, but it's just, there's things like that where, you know, when you're younger, you gloss over that and it's like, oh, that's cool. But when
so
you get older, it changes.
We crapped on Tron, then you just crapped on Yoda. So no one's listening to this.
People's ears are probably bleeding. They're like, Jones shit on Yoda? It's like, I don't know. But, yeah, this is one of those things where, I don't know, you know, you go through the years and you see more and more movies, you know, like when I was a kid, I hadn't seen Kubrick movies or Malick movies or Hitchcock movies or all this other stuff. You know, you start to see more and more film, and it's not to say that Star Wars movies aren't good as well, but you get to see a wider swath of what's out there.
Yeah, and you kind of learn what makes a film good.
Yes.
Which also exposes what makes a film bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just kind of miss solid movies. There's so many movies that aren't solid anymore.
Yeah, there's a lot of bloat in them and the storytelling is
often secondary. You know what's an incredibly solid movie? Roadhouse. Except for maybe the monster truck scene, which is completely gratuitous.
Well, it's a movie that definitely knows what it is. You can't say that it is.
Apparently, they want to remake that now too.
That's one of those movies. We've probably talked about this, but it's like that's a movie of its time.
I can think of a movie that is less appropriate to remake. Weird Science.
Weird Science. Yep.
No way that would translate out. It's like. I don't even need to explain it to you, and I shouldn't have to explain it to the audience.
Yep. Yeah, there's just certain movies, they came out in the time they came out, and that was perfect, and the only time they could come out and be successful.
I can't wait for the soulless, Phoebe Cates-less CGI Gremlins remake.
Ugh. Ugh.
It won't be as good as Ever Kittens. We should make Ever Kittens. Nobody would make that movie. We should make it. It's basically Gremlins with kittens there.
Yeah,
that's my elevator pitch. If I'm ever in an elevator with Steven Spielberg. Gremlins with kittens. That's a go picture. Give me Kit Ramsey, you got a go picture. Okay, so I guess the point is, maybe your childhood wasn't that great to begin with.
Yes. Or live in the present, because, you know, your childhood's over. Unless you're right in the middle of living it. You know, if you're like 10 years old right now, well, you probably shouldn't be listening to this goddamn podcast. But
in the first place, yeah.
But,
you know. Go outside and play. Let's go play ball, Annie. Although, you know, kids like movies that don't have kids in them. You know, Lucas is like, oh, I gotta put a kid in this movie. It's for kids. That's the incorrect thing to think.
Although I did love Commando as a child, and that had, you know, young Alyssa Milano running around in it. So,
yeah, I wonder how...
I probably still would have loved it, though, if it was just Arnold blowing shit up, so...
You know, it's weird. I'm just trying to think. The movie came out in 85, because I know what year every movie came out.
God, 30
And Alyssa Milano is older than I am, which means she would have been like 12 or 13. She like looked younger than that. She looked,
yeah, looked like 10 or so, but.
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger is like the king of making movies with young girls who would turn out to be really hot.
Yep. Eliza Dushku.
Oh man. I think all our viewers are going to be gone. But Eliza Dushku did turn out pretty hot.
Yeah, she did.
Anyway, okay, so let's now talk about, I guess we're talking about movies still. I guess we could also bring this into, like, you know, Star Wars Episode 7 being too safe.
Yeah.
So, it used to be, you know, movies might make, like, 70% of their money in America, 30% overseas, because, of course, other countries weren't as developed. You know, there wasn't as much technology, agrarian culture, blah, blah, blah. Nowadays, movies, it's, you know, they'll make, like, $250 million here, maybe even less than their predecessors, like with Pirates of the Caribbean. But then they'll absolutely clean up overseas, like Ice Age movies, for some reason, make tons of money overseas.
Yeah, those tear it up.
I guess that's all well and good that, you know, they can find new revenue streams, but is it making the movies too... Everything's a superhero movie with a lot of effects. Like Transformers, I guarantee Transformers 4 will be the lowest grossing yet in America, but it'll clean up overseas.
Oh, yeah.
And they still have 3D as well.
Yeah, to tack on top of it.
Maybe it's because here in America we have all this technology and, like, you know, it's like, oh, I don't want to watch it. Like me, I very rarely watch movies, but I'll, like, play my computer or my computer or my computer.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, we go to less movies, you know, even if we... Even if we watched the same amount of movies as we used to, where we watch them would change. Like, for me, I watch a lot at home, but I go to the theater way less than I used to.
Yeah.
You know?
I watch a lot of movies on, like, iPod or iPad.
Yeah. And, you know, and the thing is, yeah, like, we've got, you know, big-ass TVs and surround sound systems at home, and, yeah, we've got all these gadgets that we can consume media in all different ways, all different times on, where... Overseas, you know, it seems like, you know, and not all overseas markets, but a lot of the markets, you know, it's like, it's kind of like you've said, where it's like how it was in the U.S. back in like the 30s and stuff, you know, people would go off to work hard all day and come home. It's like, well, you don't have a TV at home or you don't have like all these other entertainment avenues to you. It's like where you go for your entertainment is out to the theater or whatever.
Yeah, so, that's what used to happen here. But then TV changed it, and then video games changed it.
Yeah.
Although movies still make tons of money here, but...
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like, you know, yeah, there's a movie like, Alice in Wonderland's a great example. Like, who liked that movie? I mean, it made a lot of money here, but it made tons overseas. Like, why? Because it has, like, visuals. Like, the story doesn't matter. As long as there's colorful shit on the screen, people will watch it.
Yeah, yeah, because it was just an atrocious movie.
Americans are guilty of that too, but
oh yeah,
I think unfortunately when movies have to be translated, you know, the more explosions and the less talking, the easier it is to translate, and this seems to clean up.
Yeah, and so it does seem to be an interesting phenomenon, and yeah, like the last Pirates movie, like you said, it made less in the U.S. than any of the other ones, but overall it made more money than any of the other movies because it did so well overseas.
Unlike Transcendence.
Oh, yeah, that was a big bomb. But, and I think one of the things that helps animated movies is that they can use local talent to
do
the dubs and stuff
that.
Like that. And so that's like a big thing. So like in India, you know, they'll use like local... You know,
Bollywood?
Indian movie stars and stuff to do the vocals, and that's really huge, you know. Makes sense. I mean, it's like if, you know, it were me, I wouldn't want to sit there and watch something with a bunch of, you know, bad dub work on it. I'd want to watch something with, like, good actors doing it, you know, so.
You know what's unfortunate is that I'm sure they kind of assume the kind of movies, like, oh, superhero movie, a bunch of explosions, it'll play overseas. You know, oh, the animated movie, it'll play overseas. But then you have something like Titanic, and its re-release made over $100 million in China. It's like, who would have predicted that?
Yeah, that was kind of mystifying.
I mean, nobody thought Titanic was going to make as much money as it did here.
Yep.
But I guess what that could show you is, you know, maybe people in other countries would watch movies that aren't just superheroes exploding robots.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like two people falling in love in a ship. Apparently that translates.
Yeah, people like that.
So, yeah, I mean, why not, you know, try to just... If you think about it, like, Titanic was, like, pretty much the only mega hit movie that was never really emulated.
Yeah.
Pearl Harbor is probably the closest.
That they tried, yeah.
If you look at everything else, like, I think this was a topic we were going to talk about, but I forgot about it because you were, like, sick or whatever last week. But, you know, about every 10 or 15 years, there's a movie that absolutely changes all filmmaking.
Yeah.
Like, if we go backwards, right now it's The Avengers, because now everything has to be, like, a universe tie-in.
Connected universe, yeah.
Before that, it was, I would just say Batman Begins. I wouldn't necessarily say The Dark Knight.
Yep.
And before that was The Matrix, Jurassic Park, Star Wars.
Yep.
I don't know if going back further than that.
I mean, Jaws was the beginning of, like, the blockbuster thing, like the summer blockbuster.
Yeah, but
Star Wars was the one that really shifted everything.
I'm trying to think. I mean, the 60s, the biggest movie of the decade was The Sound of Music, but did that really change anything?
I don't think so. I mean, you had all your big epic movies in the
50s. Like all the Bible movies.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently that's coming back now. Like, they're... God, what are they making now? They're making... Well, there's a Ridley Scott Exodus movie coming out this fall. Then there's a... What is it? It's... Oh, Ben-Hur. They want to remake now.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Someone was like,
leave it alone.
What? This book is out of copyright?
Yeah.
Turns out this Bible thing is 2,000 years old. Well, Ben-Hur is not from the Bible, but yeah. Still. Hey, you hear about this book? It's totally out of copyright. We could take anything.
Yeah.
Like fanning open the pages.
And everybody knows the stories.
What? Hey, yeah. I realized something.
Yeah.
Jennifer Connelly, who was in Noah with Russell Crowe, was in Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe.
She was.
But I bet they didn't have any mirrors in ancient times for her to break.
That's why she won't win an Oscar this time.
But maybe she'd become a heroin addict. Oh, wait, no, you can't win an Oscar for that either.
And there's probably not much food unless they eat a bunch of animals or something. In
Wouldn't that kind of be defeating the point?
Yeah, I know.
It's like they take three of every animal
so they can eat one. That would have made a lot more sense.
Maybe the animals could have babies and they could eat the babies. That's kind of dark.
That could have happened.
Hey, Russell Crowe has to do what's...
Well, how long were they on that boat?
Was 40 days? 40 days and 40 nights.
Yeah.
Your favorite
Josh Hartnett movie or whatever that was?
That wasn't Josh Hartnett. That was Harrison Ford and Anne Heche.
That's Six Days and Seven Nights. 40 Days and 40 Nights was Hartnett, I think.
40 Days and... Oh, was that the one where... Was he in rehab or he couldn't have sex or something?
That might be. I never saw it. I just know it exists.
Whatever happened to Josh Hartnett? I mean, he was in Pearl Harbor, as we mentioned.
And he was in the very beginning of Sin City and then disappeared.
Oh, yeah, they're making a sequel to that now, too.
Yeah, like 6 years too late.
Well, anytime after not Frank Miller. The Shadow. Who's it? Who is it? Not Frank
Alec
Miller.
Alec Baldwin?
No, not the Spirit.
You're talking about
The Spirit.
Yeah,
yes.
Horrible movie.
Who was the guy, the artist who did...
It's Frank Miller, right?
No, Frank Miller is Mad Max.
No, that's George Miller.
George Miller? Oh, it is Frank Miller?
Yeah.
What is the deal with this Mad Max movie they shot like 10 years ago, and it's still not going to come out until next year?
It's got Charlize in it, right?
Yeah, and Tom Hardy.
It must not be, but it must suck.
It must be, yeah, it has to suck if it's... Because they shot it like, what, 2 years ago?
It's been a while, yeah.
It doesn't come out until next spring, a year from now.
Well, in spring, too.
No, spring is the new summer.
That's true. Because, yeah, Captain America came out already.
I completely forgot what we were talking about. Oh.
Well, we were on the foreign market topic, and then we shifted into the, you know, there's always...
Oh, the Bible movie's got a soft topic, yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, right now everything is, like, the extended universe of, like Fox and Sony are trying to wring every little thing they can get, trying to get blood out of a stone, Emma Stone with Spider-Man...
Is there anything that can, like, somehow shift it away from superhero movies? I mean, this is,
I think if anything, people are sick of them.
That, you know, it's been over a decade now with, like,
well, I guess there hasn't been a Batman and Robin. Well, Batman and Robin wasn't a bomb, but nobody wanted it.
But, yeah, there's got to be, like, some colossal turd. I think the big problem is, it's not really a problem, but... It's like, they actually have, like, good filmmakers making most of these movies. you know, so yeah. They don't really make a hunk of shit, you know?
It's well, like, Joel Schumacher was a good filmmaker.
Yeah, true. But, I don't know, it's...
Not when he made Batman and Robin and Batman Forever, which was worse.
Ugh, yeah.
So that's the thing, Batman Forever was a lot worse than Batman and Robin.
Yeah, it's just bad, but...
Yeah, I think if anything, it will be fatigue. People just get sick of it because it's. I mean, if it seems bad now, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, they're only
going to
churn out more and more.
I mean, they're churning out another X-Men movie in 2 years.
Well, it's like just this year. What's coming out? We had Captain America. We got Spider-Man. We got an X-Men movie. We've yep. got the Guardians of the Galaxy thing coming out in August.
Mm-hmm. From James Gunn, who has directed what, Slither?
I guess. I mean, Transformers could kind of count. I mean, it's not really, I guess, but it kind of falls in there.
I guess I would go see Planet of the Apes because I really liked the previous one.
Yeah, the first one was good, yeah.
Yeah, that was an example of a movie that kind of came from left field and was really good and surprised everyone.
Yeah. Well, it showed what happened.
Yeah.
It's like, here's
which is
all that shit from before. Here's how it happened.
And
you know?
That was my biggest problem with Terminator Salvation is like, the most interesting thing of the whole Terminator story would be what happened. Like, how did we go from computers nuking the world to robot enslavement? Like, show us that process.
Yeah.
You know, the ultimate Terminator movie that we'll never get now, we'll never get this, would be you make 3 movies. It's like, it starts with him holding Claire Danes' hand in the bunker.
Yeah.
How did they get out of the bunker? Where did they go? How do they, you know, that would be interesting.
Yeah, how'd they form this resistance?
But nope, they just jumped 20 years ahead. Fuck it. and then the third movie could have ended with John Connor sending Kyle Reese back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Done. It would have been perfect. If they got their, of course, now they want to make 3 more goddamn movies of this new Genesis shit. J.K. Simmons is in it though, but eh. Oh, God, that movie's going to suck ass. I'm still worried about Days of Future Past. I'll still go see it, but...
The last trailer I liked more than what I had seen before, but it's still... It's just...
It looks like a mess.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I hope for it because I really liked First Class, but yeah, it just seems like it's trying to do too much, and we'll see.
Oh, when Mike's asking me these stupid questions about...
About air travel?
Yes.
Yeah, Ben's trying to guide someone through air travel who hasn't done it in like over a decade and
try
all sorts
the
of
internet.
Inane questions.
God.
Yeah, it's like, can't you just go to like the FAA's website and they'd probably answer all of his questions right now?
Although I don't blame him. You used to be able to take booze on planes and I would do it so I could sleep.
Yeah, but now you can't.
No. There's something you can take on planes now that you wouldn't think you could.
Well, you
could,
can still take knitting needles, can't you?
Yeah, that's
which you
can
do a
else.
Hell of a lot of damage with those if you wanted to.
Well, all the lithium-ion batteries, that's all bullshit,
yeah.
Too. Oh, I can't remember. My favorite part is that you can actually, like, have your devices on during takeoff. Because everyone's like, oh, you can't go 5 minutes between the door closing and the plane taking off. It's like, you can spend a lot more than 5 minutes taxiing around just from the door. I mean, it can be like, shit, it can be like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Where all you have to do is sit there in the dark. And fuck paper reading. I want to use my iPad. Then the Planet of the Apes will spread the virus. And
shit will get real.
All right. So I guess we're just kind of hoping that movie studios realize that, you know, foreign markets might want weird stuff. Maybe this Titanic thing will open their eyes.
Yeah, so really it's not foreign markets' fault. It's
Hollywood
fault. Course, studios
yeah.
misinterpreting foreign markets' wants. That's what it really boils
well,
down to.
Well, you know,
so.
Just like Henry Ford said, if I would have listened to my customers, I would have built a faster horse.
Yep.
And it's just like pinball. It's like, don't listen to what people want. They don't know.
Yep.
That was condescending.
But,
like, look at the iPad. It's like.
Yeah, nobody said they wanted that.
But they did.
Yep.
So. Getting back to technology, our third topic is going to be everyone hates the Xbox / what was that show about where everyone hated the guy, Chris Rock or something?
Everybody.
Oh, yeah, it was about Chris Rock as a kid. It was called Everybody Hates Chris.
Oh.
So apparently it was good.
So was that like a counterpoint to Everybody Loves Raymond? It was like the opposite approach.
I think so. My parents used to watch that show all the time.
Somebody did.
You know what's weird? It's like, I guess speaking of like being conservative, people like conservative lame sitcoms. Like, look at CBS. Like, everyone loves their shit. Like, NBC like does much different stuff, but nobody cares.
Yeah, doesn't CBS have that goddamn Big Bang Theory show, which apparently people love or something?
I've never seen it. Yeah, Two and a Half Men.
I tried a couple times, and I don't see why people think that show is
good. And
great.
I'm trying to catch up on How I Met Your Mother, and I watch it, I'm like, this is like, it's not funny anymore either in the last couple seasons, but it's also like, this is so pedestrian. It's like, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of got their legs back for a little while, but yeah, they probably should have ended after like season 7.
I'm kind of seeing with 30 Rock too. Like, basically every sitcom is just about marriage and babies for like the last 2 years. And like, they should just stop the last 2 years and just like go do a different sitcom.
That's what they're doing with Parks and Rec now too.
Oh, of course.
Like, she's going to have kids or whatever and all this stuff. And it's like,
apparently the last season of How I Met Your Mother, it's an entire bottle episode at like Barney's wedding.
That's the whole last
season. The whole season is a bottle episode at his wedding, and there's, like, various flashbacks or something.
Oh, wow. No wonder people didn't particularly care for it.
Well,
I'll watch it eventually, but
I was just watching the second to last season of that show, and I was like, this, it just doesn't make any sense. It's like, it's like, do like, progressive young New Yorkers really get engaged 3 times a year? And,
season 8 was pretty
single
weak.
People in their 30s give a shit about babies. I don't. You know, it just didn't make any goddamn sense. And then they all have giant apartments in New York. It's like, oh, come on. You know, it's ironic, like Barney, who's allegedly rich, has like one of the smaller apartments on that show.
Yeah, he's more restrained apparently, so.
I'll still finish it when it comes on Netflix. I gotta see it to the end, but. Yeah, it's like 2 years. Like, Office is a good example. It should have ended when Michael Scott left.
Yes. It would have been so perfect, but.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the finale, but yeah, it should have ended with him flying off and Pam watching him.
Yep.
The end.
Well, it was so perfect because he removed his mic and everything too, and then, like, she runs up to him and you don't even hear what they say, but she's, like, all emotional, you know, and she comes back and then he leaves. It's like, would have been so perfect. It's like, that's how you end.
Even like
show.
the three or four episodes after that with like
Will Ferrell, they were crap.
Just a waste. Yeah,
it was like you could tell all they said is, "Hey, Will, just show up and like do some shit." Because like every episode, he basically played a completely different character, and it's just you knew they didn't know what the hell they were gonna do the next season. And granted, the season with Spader was much better than I expected.
Well, Spader was awesome.
He was pretty awesome, but
everything is sex, Jim.
But yeah, then the last season was just garbage, except for the finale, basically. But yeah, it's like, you know,
I did like the finale, because I did like, I didn't have like the office burning down and everyone getting some sort of insurance salt. You know, like, Kevin got fired and, you know, Jim moved, like, it just kind of ended naturally.
Realistic.
That's what I liked about it.
Yeah.
I liked how, what's his face? Oscar got dumped by the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because he dumped him for another guy.
Yep.
And, like that wouldn't have happened, you know? It actually, like, bad things or, like, not optimal things happen to the characters. And
yep.
I like how it ended, but, yeah, everything until... Or the biggest thing was, like, the Pam and the boom operator subplot. What was up with that?
It was just, like, bullshit.
I thought, are they going to do something really dark and have someone try to get Pam away from Jim? Because he was, like, a total absent... Because his character in real life would be an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would not want to work with that
guy.
You
wouldn't like him.
Yeah, because he's completely noncommittal. He doesn't... Well, I think even, like, the Ryan character, so like, you got to commit to something, Jim.
Yeah.
You
know?
But, yeah, so... Yeah. I'll still finish off High by Your Mother, but...
Yeah, I need to. I'm waiting for it to be available, like, on disc, or not on disc, on Netflix, I should say.
I guess it's a rule of sitcoms, like, once your characters start having babies, end the show.
Yeah. Is that their way of saying that's when life ends?
I don't know. Well, it probably...
Or when the interesting shit ends is
it's
when...
It's probably more like classical storytelling, you know, like, all comedy ends in marriage, all tragedy ends in death.
Yeah,
you know, if they're comedies, you know, I haven't seen Big Bang Theory, but I assume the end of it will be whoever marries the hot blonde chick.
Yeah, whoever Katie gets Kuko. The Big Bang at the end.
Oh, yes. Is that your theory?
Sure. Yeah, I've tried watching that show, and I'm like, no. Like, to me, Community is way better for, like, a geeky, in-joke, like, pop culture show. although it's got its flaws too. I finished watching the most recent season of that, and it had some good stuff, but it was pretty uneven.
I still want to see the final episode of The IT Crowd. Apparently it aired in England, but I don't think it's here yet. That show was
always... That was really funny.
Yeah, it was always a reference. It didn't matter. Like, nobody was falling in love or having babies. It was just like,
yeah, it was just
oh, you sure
shit.
You should do that, Jen?
I still love that episode when they had the first boss guy.
And he jumped out the window.
And he jumped out the window.
Oh, I'm basically the greatest person in the world.
It was so awesome. It's like he's in there having that meeting and the secretary comes in and she's like, there's some police here about some irregularities in the pension fund. And he's like, oh, very good, Denise. You know, just hold on a minute or whatever. Then he just gets up and goes over, opens the window, and just steps out.
So IT Crowd is this British sitcom about these geeks in the IT department. And it's, you should watch it. It's good. It's very British, but it's good.
Yeah, it's... There's definitely some truths in it from, like, an IT perspective.
Because the premise is, basically, there's, like, well, there's three people. There's, like, the two main characters and the goth guy.
Yep, because there's the goth DBA guy.
And they're the IT department, and what was her name? Jenny or Jen?
Jen,
she gets promoted to the head of the IT department, even though she doesn't know about computers.
Yep.
So she's, like, their boss. And, like, one of the best episodes was she doesn't know anything about computers, and she has a presentation. So to try to get her in trouble, the computer geeks... take a black box and put a blinking light on it and tell her that it's the internet. And she can present it to the shareholders. And then you think the shareholders are going to call her out on it, but then they're all super impressed.
Yeah, they all think it's awesome.
And they're
yeah.
like, why aren't there any wires? It's wireless. That was the same episode where who was their boss, where he was fighting with his girlfriend who used to be a man. Remember when they were having that fight scene?
Oh, God,
yes.
Because
they crashed the wall and break the internet?
Yep.
Yeah, so you should check it out. It's a good show. So that's why I would never watch Big Bang Theory, because I just assume it would not be as actually geeky as IT Crowd.
I love that episode, too, where they go to that play, and then, like, he needs to go to the one dude needs to go to the bathroom, and the only one that's available is, like, the handicapped one. And then he ends up having to, like, pretend he's handicapped for, like, the whole rest of the episode.
That was really good.
And then he's, like, getting carted off back to, like, the home or whatever at the end. Oh, God.
And there was the bomb-sniffing robot that ran Windows Vista. We're doomed! Egg and my face were in alignment. Okay, so I guess we should move on to our final topic. Yes. So... now everyone hates Xbox.
Yes, where it apparently was beloved before.
Well, this is in America, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it was really popular. And
yeah.
Most people I know, you know, had Xboxes, you know, and all that. And that was, like, their primary system.
Excuse me.
But yeah,
I had a PlayStation 3, and I'd say, like, 95% of the games I bought were for the Xbox.
Yeah, it was pretty much the same with me.
Because it had the multi-platforms were better on it.
Yeah, and Xbox Live was better, like, when you wanted to use, you know.
It still is. PlayStation streaming movies is terrible.
Well, and they had stuff on Xbox Live, you know, like the cross-game chat and stuff. Like, they had that for ages there,
no.
You know, where that was, like, a new feature for PlayStation 4.
Yeah,
know.
Xbox pioneered most of that stuff. They were doing it long before anyone else.
Yeah, so...
Maybe that's why, you know, it had early success. Well, I mean, PlayStation also was way too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a $500 Xbox One, it's still too much, but
that's cheaper than
a $500 PlayStation 3.
Well, the PlayStation 3 was $600 originally.
There's two models.
Yeah, but, like, the, you know, the 60 gig or whatever it was.
That's expensive gigs.
Yeah.
But now it seems like everyone hates the Xbox and they want it to fail. And I guess it stem back from E3 when they had, like, oh, no used games. That was the main thing, right, that people hated.
It must be. And I don't know. It's weird. I mean, the thing is, like, in the early days of a system, it is usually, like, more like the gamers and stuff that are buying the systems. You know, so they're the people that are more aware of that stuff.
And they drive adoption because they're, like, the ambassadors of it.
Yeah, so... I mean, the thing is, I think about it, and it's like, I don't really know anybody that's got an Xbox One.
My brother-in-law has one, I think.
Okay. But I know, like I've got a PS4, you've got a PS4, guy at work's got a PS4.
Well, I'm going to send Mike some packing tip.
It's not like rolling I know a clothes. Ton of people that have PS4s either, I guess, but it just seems like it's better adopted or whatever. There's like that thread on Pinside where they were talking about it, and it seemed like most people on there had PS4s.
Yeah, most people I know do as well.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, like, yeah, last generation, I really loved the Xbox and all that. You know, it was really great. And it was one of those things, too, where it's like everybody had one. Like, what was it when we got Borderlands? You know, it was like,
yep,
by Borderlands, and it's like, oh, look, there's like 15 people online, and they're all playing Borderlands. And so you could get, like, four-player games.
I don't know if that'll ever happen again. It was like a magical time of everyone having the same console.
It was like that and Halo 3. Like, those are the two games when they came out, like, everybody was playing them.
I gotta wonder if there's a lot of people like myself where the console generation dragged on so long I lost interest. Now I play most of my games on PC.
Yeah, I'm the same
way. Like, why would I buy Titanfall on Xbox One when I have an awesome PC?
Yep.
And it's the same game. Titanfall, I think I was telling you this, but Titanfall is really good.
Yeah, I think you gave your review last time.
Oh, whatever, okay, so. I won't talk about it again.
But
I prestiged in it.
Nice. Is that a good thing?
I've never done that in a game, which means you get to level 50.
That's
you
where you
over.
Roll it over, right? Because Battlefield has that, right? Or
I never
was
maxed
it Call
out,
of Duty?
I maxed out Call of Duty, but I never prestiged.
Okay.
Your favorite movie.
Actually, that might be my favorite movie.
It has Nikola Tesla in it.
I really like it. It's got Scarlett Johansson in it, too.
Oh, yeah.
And Batman and Wolverine.
Batman, Wolverine, Scarlett
Black
Johansson,
Widow,
David Bowie,
and the chick from Iron Man 3, and Rebecca Hall.
Oh, she was in that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's the one that's married to
Bale. Oh. Hey, wasn't Piper Parabo also in that?
Yep, Coyote Ugly was in it.
Coyote Ugly. Her name is Coyote Ugly.
Yep.
That movie was dumb.
Yeah, I think we've bitched about that on here, too.
Oh,
it's like we have the same conversation all the time. But, I don't know. It's like I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Like, if I want to play a game, I basically play Old Republic. I don't really play anything else, and my phone's going off.
I get,
with my awesome 24 ringtone.
Is it, what's her face? Meat Socket or whatever?
Meat Socket.
What's her actual name?
What was her name? The one who was the...
The CTU. How do I know? I've never even seen this damn show. The woman who, like, had the computer. Woman.
Chloe, wasn't that her name?
Yeah, and then her... Yeah, her.
Yeah.
Apparently she's back with and Die Another, Live Another Day or whatever the hell it's called. I always heard that the show was good, but then a cougar chased what's-her-face around the desert or something.
Yeah, season one was really awesome. I remember watching that, and I was like, wow, there's, like, shit that happened in that I was surprised was, like, on network television. Mm. Like, some pretty ballsy things happen in it. And then, yeah, season two is the one with, like, the cougar shit, where it was obvious that they were like, oh, shit, we've got this daughter character, and we probably should have killed her off or something at the end of season one, because now we don't know what the hell to do with her. So they just, like, have her car break down, and she gets lost in the goddamn woods for, like, half the season. And then season three, I think, is the one, it's really good, where, like, he has to infiltrate, like, this drug cartel, and he actually gets, like, hooked on heroin and shit in it, because he's, like, you know, having to try to, like, play the game and pretend he's part of them and all that, but he actually gets, like, hooked on the shit. So there's definitely some crap that goes on in that show where it's kind of like, wow, this is, like, on just regular network TV. And
hey, if you watch Arrested Development now, I mean, it's hard to believe that was on network TV.
True.
That's the thing. Fox canceled a lot of shows, but they also greenlight a lot of shows nobody else would.
Yeah. Like, what was it, Serenity they did, too?
Firefly.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible name for a show. Sorry, Brown Coats, it is.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. Serenity's not very good either for a name.
They should have a better name would have been Space Cowboys.
Yes, it would have been.
Even though that's stupid.
Hey, it worked for Clint.
Oh, that's right. His movie was called Space Cowboys.
It actually did really well, too.
Well, I mean, it was a Western in space.
Yeah. It was a good time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Yeah, I don't know. But yeah,
the Xbox.
I would recommend 24 Season 1, though, if you're...
Wait, what does that have to do with Xbox?
You might be able to stream it on your Xbox.
It's probably
in the high-quality stream.
Probably on Netflix. They have everything else from Fox on there. High quality. Yes, okay, here's the thing. I'll tell you how bad, okay, this whole console war. I'm old enough to remember the console war of the early 90s. And this one seems a lot worse, probably because of the internet and, like, people are a lot meaner on the internet.
Yeah.
It's like, you see, like, any... Oh, no, it was an Atari landfill thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, Microsoft, you know, Microsoft wants original programming at Xbox. Microsoft...
Yeah, they funded
it. They fund a documentary to dig up the landfill. People are like, oh, yeah, they can put all the Kins and Kinects in there. And Xbox sucks. It's like, dude, they fucking found the lost landfill.
Yeah.
This is like if the Catholics found the Ark of the Covenant and the Christians bitched about it.
Yep.
It's like, who cares? It's an amazing discovery.
Yeah.
Yep. But the console war is so vile right now that...
It's just like everything. Everything is just toxic.
Yeah.
Throughout everything.
Especially Britney
Spears.
Whether
it's politics or games or pinball, anything.
That's true.
It's like just everything. Yeah. There's just a toxicity to it.
Yeah.
It's like nobody can be happy about anything anymore. It's like,
except that asshole on the radio. He's always happy.
Which asshole is that?
Oh, there's some song that's like, must be the number one hit song. This guy who sings about how happy he is. I always change the channel because I like, what would Grumpy Cat do?
Yeah, well, good for him.
Well, yeah, I guess I'd be happy too if I had a hit song on the radio.
Yeah.
Although I did get Mirror Blades for my Attack from Mars.
Did that make you happy?
It's pretty badass.
Did you put anything like felt on the side of the playfield or anything?
I did not. So? I thought about it, but then the instruction manual said not to.
Oh, okay.
I haven't scratched them yet, though, so...
That's always been my concern with those. Is like, knowing me, I would scratch the goddamn thing the first time I lifted the playfield.
It's still pretty tight. The guy was saying, well, if you have a modern Stern, you see the playfield moves quite a bit, and it makes it even easier to install.
Nice. Because I've seen those installed in Tron, and they look pretty badass with like the lit ramps and everything. Like, there's just light everywhere. Then.
Oh yeah, I wonder what's going on in Allentown. Speaking of.
Oh, yeah.
Vile accusations. And oh, yeah, did you see that guy on Pinside? He was talking about my game. He's like, it's a good thing the playfield looks so horrendous. Otherwise, I might have to buy this.
Oh, yeah.
The guy with the Danny Trejo icon.
Yep.
Like, dude, you have a Danny Trejo icon. You have no idea of what looks good or not.
But I saw that, and I'm like, no, Danny Trejo, you have to buy this game.
Yeah, because you're Danny Trejo.
Obviously, because that's your avatar, but yeah, I was like, wow, of all the things to find fault with, I mean, it's like, I don't know, I was kind of surprised, but, you know, whatever, different strokes for different folks, you know.
Yeah, Chuck asked me today, he's like, are you really out? And I'm like, I'm out. Tried to sound like all tough, you know, like in the movies. I swore I'd never go back to being on the force.
Out, am I? Godspeed,
Steven. I can crush you like a bug. I still will never watch that new movie. Never.
You will.
No, I won't.
You will.
I thought about it,
someday.
Actually, but I won't. No, I won't. I will not.
Someday you're going to be like, I'm bored. I'm going on this long trip on this plane.
Nope.
I'm going to watch this thing.
I will never give fake Spider-Man a dime of my money.
I don't know. Never say never.
Anyway, back to the Xbox thing.
Yes. So will you buy one someday?
Yeah, I'm sure I will. I mean, all I want is Fallout 4.
Yeah.
But God knows when that'll come out, thanks to Elder Scrolls Online. But yeah, I don't care if another studio made it. Anything that Bethesda's doing that isn't Fallout, I don't care. No. I know it's worse than don't care. I'm actively upset about.
Yeah, it seems like it's... I mean, I haven't read a lot about it, but I mean, since I play Old Republic, you know, it's another MMO, and I've seen a lot of stuff where, like, a lot of people went off and they played, you know, in the beta, on the beta weekends, and then people went over and played it for, like, a week or two, and then, you know, basically they started coming back in droves, you know, to Old Republic or World of Warcraft or Guild Wars 2 or, you know, whatever the hell they were playing before.
Right.
It just doesn't seem like it's going to be very successful.
I was watching the Angry Joe review of it, and
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be free to play within by the end of the year.
Oh, definitely.
You know,
and yeah, it just sounds like a lot of things. But I mean, I don't know much about MMOs, but it sounds like it's completely wrong.
Yeah,
like you know, like every character in your party has to do every part of every quest. It's not like, you know, remember Borderlands? Like, yeah, as long as this terrible guy picks up this, or one of us picks up this, the quest continues. Like, no, everyone has to like go in the line and like, okay, did everyone push the switch or did everyone do this? It's like, really?
Oh yeah, that's lame. There's a couple times where that happens in Old Republic, but I think that's just because, like, it's broken in those parts. Because 99% of the quests, it's like, yeah, if somebody picks something up, everybody gets credit for it.
And yeah, it makes it easier. Like in Borderlands, like, I don't even have to pay attention. I just, whatever, just shoot things and take all the loot, and someone else will advance the quest.
Yeah.
So I guess with the console thing,
to me, price is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think if they were both $400, I think their sales would probably be, like, dead even, or maybe even the Xbox would be ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Xbox is for the you know, it's not that far behind considering it's more expensive.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it'll be this Christmas, but they'll definitely cut the Kinect.
They have to. I mean don't there they aren't realize that many games that utilize
yeah,
it.
Yeah, don't they realize, like, that's not what players want? That might be what Microsoft wants, but it's not what players want.
Yeah. I mean, there's no killer games that use it. You know,
it's, and there, like, never will be.
It's like on Xbox 360, it was like basically the Dance Central games were the only ones that really utilized it well, but there's only a certain market that wants to play those games.
And then it's Xbox Pause, Xbox Play, so it's like a $100 pause button.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. It's, and I think that new game, what is it, the one from Harmonix, it's like Disney something or other, like Fantasia.
Oh, Fantasia? That isn't out yet?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's,
but I think that's
going to
be like a Kinect game or whatever. But it's like, still, I don't see that, you know, moving systems or anything. It's one of those things where it's just like, yeah, why don't you save $100 and let the people that want it buy it?
I mean, who knows? Maybe the VR is the new thing. I mean, yeah. Motion controls is dead.
Yeah.
Or our motion controls is dead. Yes. Yeah. I mean, what are people going to want next? Again, you don't really know. They don't even know until they want it.
Yeah.
It's like with the pinball stuff. It's like, I see all this stuff. They try to, oh, let's advance. The inserts change color. Who gives a crap? Like, what you've really got to do is you've got to make something people can't have in their home. I mean, if you think about it, in the 1980s, one of the you and I are old enough to remember this. The arcade games were much better than the home versions.
Yes.
Like, yep. But then once the home versions started to have parity with the arcades, like in the late 90s, nobody cared about arcades anymore. That's what killed arcades.
Yep.
So you've got to, I mean, I guess a pinball machine is something most people wouldn't have at home, but you got to go further than that. You get, like, I don't know, put holograms in it or something. It's like, oh my God, how does this work?
Yeah. Well, that's why when you go to those arcades now, like down in Chicago or whatever, it's like they have those like gigantic Terminator things, you know, where it's like these huge screens and you've got like the guns and stuff. Yeah. You know, it's like you don't see like a Street Fighter II arcade cabinet type game there, you know. I mean, there's some of those, but they're not the majority. It's like these giant things that nobody's going to have in their house.
What they really need to do is figure out an arcade machine, which is basically redemption for adults. Because redemption is what makes money with all the kids and their stupid doodads. But
yeah, they're crappy little
things. It's like, give out, like, beer tickets or burger tickets or something. And
yeah.
It's also, I mean, people play the lottery, so if they're stupid enough to do that, they'll play this redemption beer game.
Yep.
Oh, there, I just called lottery buyers tickets people stupid. Well, do we get into, like, negative listener numbers, I wonder? I don't even know what they are. I don't even know how to check. I don't know what's going on.
Something's happening. Well, I know somebody's listening because, like, you know, like, I get pinged, like, on Steam by people and stuff when they're like, where's the new podcast? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I was sick. Sorry.
I had people ask about it. Like, where's the podcast? Like, we have a show. It's like, what more do you want?
Everything.
Everything or nothing.
Yes. We should have people submit topic ideas.
Yeah. Just, they could, like, email me on my website. Apparently, my website's hacked.
Yeah. Did you fix it?
Do I do that through my server or what?
Yeah.
Maybe you can tell me about that afterwards.
Yeah. Because, yeah, this one guy messaged me about it or whatever, and
yeah,
it's like if you go
too.
To Google and search for BenHeck.com, it comes up and it says, like, this site may be hacked or whatever. And then,
great.
And then, yeah, if you, like, click the link, it takes you to...
I don't know. I just haven't had much ambition at all lately. I know that sounds awful, but...
Actually, you have too much ambition. You just don't have ambition to fix your website, but...
I don't know. I
mean, pinball ambition you have.
No, I think I'm out of that, too.
Well, that's good.
Anyway. Because
you were burning out on it, so.
So, I think that's about all we have to say for this episode. I wouldn't count either console out yet, because, you know.
I think they'll be fine in the long run. But yes, PCs are.
The best console is a PC.
Yes.
The death of PC gaming is always 5 years away. But yes, maybe email us, hopefully on the Unhacked website, if you have some great ideas for topics, and we will talk about them.
Yes, you could tweet them too, I guess, if you can't get to the email.
Social media! All right, we'll catch you all next time.
Adios.